om att värdera och döma.
Den här historien tilldrar sig då Lao Tzu levde i Kina, och Lao Tzu älskade den här historien mycket. Det var en gammal, fattig man som levde i en by. Men trots att han var fattig var kungen avundsjuk på honom, eftersom han hade en vacker, vit häst. Kungen erbjöd fabulösa priser för hästen. Men mannen sa:
"Denna häst är inte en häst för mig. Han är en person. Och hur ska jag kunna sälja en person? En vän."
Mannen var fattig och han sålde aldrig hästen. En morgon upptäckte han att hästen saknades i stallet. Hela byn samlades.
"Din gamle tok, vi förstod att hästen skulle bli stulen en dag. Det hade varit bättre att sälja den." "Vilken olycka."
Men den gamle mannen sa:
"Ni går för långt om ni säger så. Säg bara att hästen inte finns i stallet. Detta är ett faktum. Allt annat är dömande. Huruvida det är en olycka eller en välsignelse vet jag inte, eftersom det här bara är fragment. Vem vet vad som händer härnäst?"
Folk skrattade åt den gamle mannen. De hade alltid vetat att han var lite tokig. Men efter 15 dagar kom hästen plötsligt tillbaka. Han var inte stulen. Han hade rymt till vildmarken. Och inte nog med det. Han förde med sig ett dussin vildhästar. Återigen samlades folket.
"Gamle man, du hade rätt. Det var ingen olycka. Det var verkligen ingen olycka. Det har visat sig att det var ju en välsignelse."
Den gamle mannen sa då:
"Återigen går ni för långt. Säg bara att hästen är tillbaka. Vem vet om det är en välsignelse eller inte? Det är bara fragment. Ni läser ett enda ord i en mening. Hur ska ni kunna värdera hela boken?"
Den här gången hade inte folket så mycket att säga, men inombords visste de att han hade fel. 12 vackra hästar hade ju kommit. Den gamle mannen hade en enda son som började rida in vildhästarna. En vecka senare föll han från en häst och bröt benen. Folket samlades och återigen dömde de situationen.
"Än en gång har du haft rätt. Det var en olycka. Din enda son kan inte använda sina ben. Och i din höga ålder var han ditt enda stöd. Nu är du fattigare än någonsin."
Men den gamle mannen sa:
"Ni är besatta av värderingar. Gå inte så långt. Säg bara att min son brutit benen. Ingen vet om det är en olycka eller en välsignelse. Livet kommer i fragment. Och mer ges det aldrig."
Efter några veckor hände det sig att landet gick ut i krig. Och alla unga män i byn tvingades gå ut som soldater. Bara den gamle mannens son lämnades, eftersom han var krympling. Hela byn sörjde och grät, eftersom han säkert skulle förlora striden, och de förstod att de flesta av de unga männen aldrig skulle återvända. De kom till den gamla mannen.
"Du hade rätt, gamle man. Det visade sig vara en välsignelse. Din son må vara krympling, men han finns fortfarande hos dig. Våra söner är borta för alltid.
Den gamle mannen sa återigen.
Ni bara värderar och värderar. Ingen vet. Säg bara att era söner har tvingats till armén och min son har sluppit. Men bara Gud, helheten, vet om det är en välsignelse eller en olycka.
Döm och värdera inte. Annars kan du aldrig bli ett med helheten. Med fragment blir du besatt. Med småbitar drar du slutsatser för fort. Så snart du dömer, slutar du växa. Dömande innebär ett stelnat tänkande. Och intellektet vill alltid bedöma. Eftersom rörelse alltid känns osäkert och obekvämt. I själva verket slutar aldrig resan. En stig tar slut. En annan börjar. En dörr stängs. En annan öppnas. Du når en topp. En högre topp finns alltid. Gud är en ändlös resa. Bara de som är modiga. Så modiga att de inte bekymrar sig om målen. Utan nöjer sig med resan. Nöjer sig med att leva i stunden och växa i den. Bara de förmår följa helheten.
Om att döma, bedöma och värdera. Att döma tyder på ett stelnat tänkande. Och intellektet vill alltid bedöma. Eftersom rörelse alltid känns osäkert och obekvämt. Var mycket, mycket modig. Sluta inte att växa. Lev i stunden och håll dig i livets flöde.
I will tell you a small story. It happened in the days of Lao Tse in China. And Lao Tse loved it very much. And for generations the followers of Lao Tse have been repeating their story and always finding more and more meaning in it. Their story has grown. It has become a life factor. The story is simple. There was an old man in a village, very poor. But even kings were jealous of him because he had a beautiful white horse. Such a horse was never seen before. The beauty, the very grandeur, the strength. Kings have asked for the horse and they have offered fabulous prices. But the old man will say, this horse is not a horse to me, he is a person. And how can you sell a person? He is a friend. He is not a possession. How can you sell a friend? No, it is not possible. The man was poor. There was every temptation. But he never sold the horse. But one day morning, suddenly he found the horse is not in the stable. The whole village gathered and they said, "You foolish old man, we knew it beforehand that someday the horse will be stolen. And you are so poor, how can you protect such a precious thing? It was better to sell it. You could have fetched any price you had asked. Any fancy price was possible. Now the horse is gone. It is a curse, a misfortune." The old man said, "Don't go too far. Simply say that the horse is not in the stable. This is the fact. Everything else is a judgment. Whether it is a misfortune or not, how do you know? How you judge?" The people said, "Don't try to befool us. We may not be great philosophers, but no philosophy is needed. This is a simple fact that a treasure has been lost, and it is a misfortune." The old man said, "I will stick to the fact that the stable is empty and the horse has gone. Anything else, I don't know whether it is a misfortune or a blessing. Because this is just a fragment. Who knows what is going to follow it?" People laughed. They thought the old man has gone mad also. They always knew it that he was a little crazy. Otherwise he would have sold his horse and lived in riches. But he was living like a woodcutter, and he was very old and still cutting wood and bringing the wood from the forest and selling it. He was living hand to mouth in misery and poverty. Now it is completely certain that this man is crazy. After 15 days, suddenly one night the horse returned. He was not stolen. He had escaped to the wilderness. And not only he came back, he came with a dozen wild horses with him. Again the people gathered and they said, "Old man, you were right and we were wrong. It was not a misfortune. It proved to be a blessing. We are sorry that we insisted." The old man said, "Again you are going too far. Just say that the horse is back and say that 12 horses have come with the horse. But don't judge. Who knows whether it is a blessing or not? It is only a fragment. Unless you know the whole story, how can you judge? You read one page of a book, how can you judge the whole book? You read a sentence in a page, how can you judge the whole page? You read a single word in a sentence, how can you judge the whole sentence? And even a single word is not in the hand. Life is so vast. A fragment of a word, and you have judged the whole. Don't say that this is a blessing. Nobody knows. And I am happy in my no judgment. Don't disturb me." This time the people could not say much. Maybe the old man is again right. So they kept silent. But inside they knew well that he is wrong. 12 beautiful horses has come with the horse. A little training and they all can be sold, and they will fetch much money. The old man had a young son, only one son, And the young son started to train the wild horses. Just a week after, he fell from a wild horse. His legs were broken. The people gathered again. And people are everywhere, people like you, everywhere. They again judged. Judgment comes so soon. They said, you were right. Again you proved right. It was not a blessing. It was again a misfortune. Your only son has lost his legs. In old age, he was the only support. Now you are poorer than ever. The old man said, you are obsessed with judgment. Don't go that far. Say only that my son has broken his legs, but who knows, this is a misfortune or a blessing. Nobody knows. Again a fragment, and more is never given to you. Life comes in fragments, and judgment is about the total. And it happened that after a few weeks, the country went to war with a neighboring country, and all the young men of the town were forcibly taken for the military. Only the old man's son was left because he was crippled. The people gathered, crying, weeping, because from every house, young people had been forcibly taken away. And there was no possibility of their coming back, because the country that has attacked was a big country, and the fight was a losing fight. They were not going to come back. The whole town was crying and weeping, and they came to the old man and they said, you were right, old man. Who knows? You were right. This proved a blessing. Maybe the son is crippled, but still he is with you. Our sons are gone forever. At least he is alive and with you. And by he is starting walking. Maybe a little limp will be left, but he will be okay. The old man said, it is impossible to talk to you people. You go on and on and on. You go on judging. Nobody knows. Only say this, that your sons have been forced to enter into the military, into the army. My son has not been forced, but nobody knows whether it is a blessing or a misfortune. Nobody will ever be able to know it. Only God knows. And when we say only God knows, it means only the total knows. Judge ye not. Otherwise, you will never be able to become one with the total. With fragments, you will be obsessed. With small things, you jump and take conclusions. And Sufis are very insistent on this, that you never bother that there are things which are completely beyond you. Even about them, you take judgments. Your consciousness is on a very lower ladder. You live in the dark valley of misery, anguish, and from your darkest valleys of miseries, you judge even a Buddha. Even a Buddha is not left without your judgment. Even a Jesus is judged by you, not only judged, but crucified, judged and found guilty, judged and punished. You live in the valley, dark damp. You have not seen the peaks even in your dreams. You cannot even imagine them, because even imagination needs a base in experience. You cannot dream about something which is absolutely unknown, because even dreaming comes out of your knowledge. You cannot dream about God. You cannot imagine God. You cannot imagine the peaks and the life that exists there in a Buddha. But you judge. You say, yes, this man is a Buddha, this man is not a Buddha, this man is enlightened and this man is not. The enlightened person is not harmed by you, because he cannot be harmed in any way. But you are harmed by your judgment. Once you judge, you have stopped growing. Judgment means a stale state of mind. Now the movement has stopped. The effort to know more has stopped. The effort to grow has stopped. You have already taken the judgment and it is finished. And the mind always wants to be in a judgment, because movement is troublesome. To be in a process is always hazardous. To come to a conclusion means you have reached the goal. Now there is no journey. A man who wants to journey to the ultimate should make it a basic point not to judge. Very difficult, almost impossible, because before you know, the mind judges. Before even you have become aware, the mind has judged. But if you try, by and by, a subtle awareness arises, and then you can suspend judgment. If you suspend judgment, you have become religious. Then you don't know what is right and what is wrong. But ordinarily, the people you call religious are the people who know everything, what is right and what is wrong, what to do and what not to do.
Att döma tyder på ett stelnat tänkande, och intellektet vill alltid bedöma, eftersom rörelse alltid känns osäkert och obekvämt. Var mycket, mycket modig, sluta inte att växa, lev i stunden, håll dig i livets flöde.